This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at REACH 2017, held on March 23 and 24, 2017, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
I do have a couple of just a couple of slides. They said if we turn the, it's either turn all the lights off or leave them all on. So I think we'll leave them on, and you can read this a little bit. I'll just do a brief. Little presentation here about a couple little things that might be of some interest to you. We're not going to take a lot of time on these because I just as soon talk about, you know, the specifics of your sharing programs, these kinds of things. But everybody keeps asking us about what's going to happen to the Affordable Care Act, and the simple word on that is there's about 237 Republican House of Representative people right now, and about 193 Democrats, and they are having a really difficult time. I think they were going to vote on that tonight, but I think they're kind of stalling out on it because they're not sure whether they're going to. They're just not sure if they're going to. The vote is just not quite there yet. So, and everybody is all over the charts about what's going to happen and where we're going to go with this, and it's. Now would be a really good time to pray for our government. Mr. Trump needs a whole lot of prayers. That goes without saying. But the government is really in an interesting mode right now. And certainly Mr. Ryan is saying that he doesn't think the Democrats like any part of the new American Health Care Act that's replacing Obamacare. So there's a great deal of tension going on in Washington right now. So if you want to ask us what's going to happen with healthcare sharing ministries, we have to be honest and tell you we don't know, because we don't know. But the good news is this. Mr. Trump is very pro-business, and he likes the idea of doing away with penalties and all those kinds of things that are so punitive on these situations. So it seems like some things are getting better. But what's really going to happen to it? Well, as we say, as it goes with the government, we don't really know that. But there's plenty of room to pray. And my theory has been that as long as there's medical needs, then we need to keep looking after each other as God's people. And I think that we have a lot of opportunities to do that. So what will be the future of healthcare sharing ministries, you know, as we've been talking about? We don't really know that. Well, but the thing that I am really excited about, and just in the last 2 years or so, that we have just started thinking about this more intentionally as an organization, Anabaptist Healthshare. It's just been so much fun for me, along with Tyler here and other folks that have come alongside of us, to really think about these things and to kind of put new life in the idea of healthcare sharing for our people. Because I find that our people are kind of going all over the place. They're going out to Protestant groups and they're just doing anything and everything. Some are doing this and some are doing that and some are doing this other and just everywhere. And to me, to revitalize this idea of really sharing each other's medical needs, it's been fun to try to breathe some new life into that idea of helping each other instead of treating it just like insurance and that sort of thing. So anyway, just a couple of quick questions. Is it still off limits for ministries to directly reimburse the medical expenses of their staff members? As far as we're aware of, this is still the case. It's really why Anabaptist HealthShare came to existence, because we can no longer do medical sharing like we used to. So as far as we know, that's still the case. And so we've just been trying it, particularly to address the health needs of ministries, of churches. We're now working with churches as well and with businesses. It's quite a wide variety of people that we're working with these days, and you could ask a lot of questions, and these questions are more specifically relating to ministries. Should ministries feel responsible to cover the medical needs of its staff? some ministries do, some don't. So I guess the answer to the question is it depends on the ministry, I suppose. Some are very proactive. I've even talked with a ministry here since I'm here just a few minutes ago. Said, you know what, our ministry really hasn't been doing this. Some ministries like Life have been very proactive on this matter, I think, and have been very gracious in meeting the needs of your staff, I believe. And that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. So what we come into is just trying to address these overall needs and get them rolling. So there's just several things that we've been working on. This whole idea of being of patient advocates or health coaches, accountability, these kinds of things, Norma, for your group, I have personally been doing a lot of that field work, which is, I think, worked well. It's been a joy to be able to work alongside of some of those things, even with the craziness of the systems that are out there. Just the other day, I was working on someone's bill, not from your group. I was trying to get this thing settled, and they said, well, the best we can do is a 50% discount on bills like this. And I'm thinking, I don't think that's right, but they insisted that's the deal. And I said, well, really? I said, the hospital group you're with, they often give like 30 or 40%. What would be the deal with that? Couldn't we kind of talk about that? And they said, well, let me go check. And just a moment later, they came back, and they said, how would 50% off be? I said, oh, yeah, sure. I'll take that. And they offered more than what I was even asking for. And it's like, but the first answer was, 15%, that's it. We will do nothing else. Okay, fine. But just a couple minutes later, it's 50% off. Okay, done deal, let's go. So the system is so crazy. And just like that recent deal we had with the Planned Community Pricing, that they gave a certain price and it included the physician's fees and everything, and we paid it up front, only to have the physician's group come back and say, well, that'd be another $9,000. I said, oh, that's a problem. But they said, oh, but if you pay right now, we'll reduce it to $2,500. I said on the phone to the client, I said, no, don't pay anything. It's been paid. But, you know, they get you coming and going. So quickly you would have said, well, $2,500, sure, I'll pay that. If it gets out of the nine. But it's already been paid. And it's just, the medical system is so crazy these days. And I'd be interested in hearing some of your stories, because you say you write checks, right?
I do, yes.
Do you work with some of the providers at times?
I don't much. We encourage our people to tell the hospitals and the doctors this is self-pay.
Yeah.
And we actually have a letter that they can take to give to the providers that say,
right,
that tell what are, you know, it's the church.
Right.
And whatever discounts you can offer, we would really appreciate that.
Right.
And so we've gotten discounts anywhere from 2% to 50%.
Yeah.
Actually, we have someone who had a very serious head injury.
Yeah.
And he was in the hospital for, I'm not sure how many weeks, and then rehab for a couple of weeks yet. Rehab was like $35,000. We ended up having to pay all of that. And his hospital bill was at Mercy Hospital in Pittsburgh. We don't even know what it was. It was hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
And we paid 12.
Wow. That's good.
Excellent. Was really good.
Really good.
But, yeah. You know, they worked. I think they got some kind of assistance with that.
Right.
But, right. Yeah. But, yeah, it is crazy. You know, a hospital that will only give a 1% or 2% discount, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is. So do you work mostly out of Maryland or Pennsylvania?
people from our church live in Maryland and Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So, whatever.
So, they use both sides for the medical providers. I have heard that Maryland seems to have a little different scenario of how they deal with bills than Pennsylvania does. So, I don't know if you found it any different
or not. We found, too, where we are, some people use West Virginia University Hospital.
Yeah.
Depending what they need. Myersdale yeah. Community Hospital is a small hospital.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of Amish around there.
Yeah.
So they offer, if somebody goes there for treatment, they get a 40% discount.
Yeah.
Just, it's an Amish Mennonite discount.
Right.
That they have arranged.
Right.
And then Oakland, that's the one that does 1% or 2%. And you can, I can't budge them on it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, I've tried to get better discounts.
But they don't talk to you much.
Yeah, that's all they'll offer.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. So do you mind me asking, so what is your church generally using now? Do you have a church plan as
yes,
such?
We
just
do.
Your particular church, only your
just
church?
Just our church.
Okay, good.
Well, actually, yeah. My church split a number of years ago.
Yeah.
And so there are a few people, we let them stay on the plan. So it's,
right.
It's kind of two churches.
Right.
But our church manages it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It sounds like you're right in the middle of that. So,
what was the name of your church again?
Bittinger Mennonite.
Oh, okay.
I think you did the work
okay.
for that.
I was
that.
Just curious. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, Herman had asked me these questions, and we had met when he was down in Virginia to help his daughter move. And he said, here, send me some information. And I tried to send him some information. For some reason, it wasn't coming through. I don't know why. But I guess I finally got him the information then.
Yeah.
So, because you have the packet in your hand, so apparently it got through. Yeah, well, one of the things that Herman had talked to me was that he did say that you have this kind of a case that you mentioned, the head injury case. It's kind of a big case. Well,
right. It's ongoing because
yeah.
he keeps dealing
yeah.
with health issues.
Yeah.
Because of this accident.
Yeah, and well, the good thing is that. The good thing is that there are numerous interventions for these types of things, you know, between the financial assistance situations or just straight out of some bill negotiation types of things or payment plans or there's various interventions that can be done for those larger cases that we have found very effective. And so, yeah, to me, that's really, it's been quite a big part of my work is actually to deal with those providers. And I find it very fun. I find it very intriguing to...
I can't imagine.
It takes a certain equilibrium to quite survive all the no's. Okay? No, we can't do this. No, we're not going to do that. And you know that's not the answer. So to just hang in there until you get the yes. That's the fun part. So, and so many good things have happened. We've had so many good things happen. It's just it's just amazing. And I don't mind telling you, and I'm sure you do the same thing. I don't mind praying. Okay, I think it's fair to pray. I think when you have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of bills, it's fair to pray. It's really is fair to pray, and I make no bones about it. I do pray. I really do pray. Lord, I need some help on this one. And because when you have those hundreds of thousands, and which we've had some of those, and it's just like, wow, God, we need your help on this one. And when you see those things just kind of rolling away, the other day I had one that I still don't understand why, but I called, it was like a $17,000 or $18,000 bill, and the client had applied for financial assistance, and it was questionable whether they're going to meet the requirements. And I called up the agent, and I said, I'm just checking back to see what's going on with this bill. And he says, well, it's zero. I'm like, zero. I was trying to make sure that I was hearing right. You mean the $17,000 one? Yeah, he said it's zero. I was scared to ask him too many questions. I just want to get out of there. But it's like, zero. Okay, it's zero. And I actually, you have to leave it to me because I'm not allowed to do this. But I had to call back one more time to one of the other people just to make sure. Zero. Yeah, zero. And I still don't understand why, because the client got a letter that would have suggested, well, there's two different hospitals involved, and the other hospital at least had declined it because it was over limits. And I couldn't make out why this would be zero. But the guy said very clearly, zero. And so I was like, wow. The Lord told somebody to put down zero. That's all I can tell you. So sometimes people look at me like, I work magic. No, I don't work magic. It's the Lord who does it, okay? And it's just fun to be a part of that and let the Lord have a chance to do some of these things. So to me, it's why healthcare sharing works, is because we work together on these things. We help each other to figure these things out. And I see that as the role of Anabaptist Health Share, is to help our people figure this out. Because even for me, the things that you hear in the medical field, in the billing departments, just makes you stand on your head. Because it is so confusing, so contradictory, and so non-understandable, and so nonsensical. They all make up their own rules. They play by their own game. And the rules change all the time. They're changing the rules. And so for anybody like myself to even slightly remotely suggest to you that I understand the system would be foolish, okay, because you really can't understand the system. The only thing you understand is that it's really upside down and involves hundreds of thousands of dollars. But it's been very fun to see some of those hundreds just drop right off. It's been such a blessing and joy to see that happening. So what can be done with the larger bills beyond the reach of the individual ministry? Maybe we'll just quickly run through these several more slides here and just talk about this a little bit. I think this is probably the thing that scares all of us the most is, so what are we going to do with those big bills? And it scares ministries, it scares churches, it scares individuals. And it's always, are we just one step away from that big one that's going to kill us? You know, that fear factor. But I'm here to say that I think that there's really, really good answers for the fear factor. And the answers are not in having $1 million worth in your kitty to cover any eventuality that ever happens. That is not the answer to the fear factor. To me, it's just simply having an understanding of the healthcare system to the extent that you're not afraid of the system, that you can go to them and you know how to work out a reasonable arrangement with them to make this happen. To me, that's by far the better answer, and especially if you can sit beside each other in the same bench in the same church and say, you know what, we're brothers and sisters and we're sharing together, and this is not about insurance. It's not about I'm going to get my last dollar out of this if it's the last thing I do. It's about, you know what, I didn't need any help this month. I didn't need any help the last 6 months. But I'm so delighted that my little contribution can go to help the next person down the bench. And together, this works in an amazing way. We've seen this working so beautifully. To me, that's the spirit of healthcare sharing. It's not about what's in it for me, but it's just simply everybody puts in a little bit of funds in the pool, and together we can do this. So how do we work with the larger bills? I don't remember quite what all I put in here. I've got some practical paths to leveraging ministry funds. Well, I'm talking particularly to ministries right at this moment, but it can work similarly with churches. There's various ways that ministries do this. I had someone tell me this morning that the church covers the workers' needs. They have some of the individual staff members. They'll have their church cover needs. Some of our groups would add a specific amount to an allowance. And then that allowance is collected and put into the health share pool for that particular program. Some just use a straight medical sharing pool like Anabaptist Health Share, where the ministry workers actually have been given maybe an extra stipend, and then they just pull their stipends back into the fund individually. So we work with, at AHS, we work with a real wide variety of ways of doing this. As it goes with life, life contributes a contribution into the foundation pool, and then we use those funds to reimburse the life staff. So there's several different ways that we can do this. I think it's a very flexible system, really. And one of these days, yeah. Well, we'll just talk a little bit about sharing pools, about how sharing pools work, whether it's AHS or some other sharing pool, just the basic elements of it. It's usually today done within the framework of a healthcare sharing ministry. I think apparently Bittinger and Tyler have had a few contacts with each other. Tyler, have you done their healthcare sharing thing? Tyler's had the unique experience of kind of growing up in the with an attorney who was dealing with healthcare sharing stuff for quite a while, actually, I guess. And as Tyler was apprenticing with him, he put Tyler to work doing some of these things. And first thing Tyler knew right out of the gate, that's what he was doing, a lot of what he was doing, right at that particular moment in time. And so he got a chance to help a lot of folks set up their healthcare sharing ministries as a church aid plan or whatever. So from there, it seems like the HCSM world has really taken off a lot. Our church has partnered with a group that has, I think 130,000 members. And, there's just a lot of this going on now, that there's a lot of things that are going on with this, with these types of programs. It's really taken off a lot. So anyway, sharing pools, there's various ways that can be done. As we talked about a little bit here, sometimes ministries just, they increase allowances and then do kind of a voluntary payroll deduction. There's various ways this can be done, but this is, some of our ministries do it this way. Sometimes individual ministries can contribute funds to the pool. There's one of our ministries that just gives their staff extra money, and then the staff contribute it back to us. That's one of our pools, works that way. But again, as I said earlier, the strength of the fund is not so much in large reserves, but it's in maintaining the spirit of true brotherhood sharing. So a word that I have started using lately, Tyler, you probably even haven't heard me use this one. It's a new one I just came up with. It's called patient advocate. I'm finding that when the billing agents in town hear, who are you with? Oh, that sounds like an insurance or something. And they kind of run you through the hoops, the insurance hoop. And I'm finding that I get along quite a bit. It feels like I get along a lot better. I just say I'm a patient advocate. And they, of course, want to know where you're from and who you are and all this kind of stuff. But I say I'm a patient advocate. I'm working on behalf of this client, and I'm just trying to help them figure this out. And they understand why I'm doing that, because they know it can't be figured out. So they seem to be quite, they don't have their hackles up quite as high as if they think you're some agent of some kind, someplace. So then we can talk about real life, and we can do real business, and we can get down to the brass tacks of things. But I'm a very strong believer in this. And I have just, the other day I was just talking with a large group that they were asking us questions about, it's like, do they want to affiliate with AHS, or they're trying to get some help, they're trying to get some ideas. And I heard them tell me that everybody in their church does their own, handles their own bills. And then they submit them for payment. I'm thinking to myself, you guys got to be kidding me. No wonder. And they told me that their outlay of funds was, they told me how much it was. It was like $750,000, okay? And I did a quick calculation of what their income would be, and I said, you guys are spending more than you're getting in, aren't you? Yeah, we did. And I was thinking, guys, this is not working. This is not working. The average person has no idea what to do with these bills. You have to change gears. So we're still in process with helping them change those gears, okay? The average person has no idea what to do with these bills. They think the hospital said we get this much discount. Great. That's fine. No, it's not fine, okay? Whatever they told you, it's not the end of the story, okay? But it sounds good to them. We're Mennonites. We like 20% discounts. That's really good for us. So we take it and run with it, right? It's not good, okay? So I am a very strong advocate that I think any bills that go through HCSMs have got to be managed by a true, genuine patient advocate of some kind that's managing those bills piece by piece. It has to be done if you want to keep your rates right where they need to be. If you want to stay solvent, you have to do that. Unless you don't mind paying the extra money and let the rates go up and whatever, that's fine. But our people, you know, we're Anabaptist faith people, you know? We really like low rates. We really like things to be lower, not higher, right? That's kind of how we like things. So to me, there's ways to keep it that way, but it certainly has to go through an experienced patient advocate, in my opinion, to see to it that that's what happens. So again, whoever is operating that fund, if it's you or someone else, you do work with those bills in whatever way is necessary. And again, the strength of the HCSM is that the bills are shared within the larger pool. And I think that is just the important part of this. So just a few little comments here yet. And then I would just like to keep discussing here informally if we could. And I think that the health and well-being of our ministry workers is critical to the carrying out of the vision and purpose of the ministry. It's the physical health, it's emotional health, it's spiritual health. I think this is true for churches too. I've got such a burden for churches right now, I guess because of our own church. There's so many needs. We see so many needs, and some of them are physical, some are emotional, some are spiritual. And I just think that the greatest joy we have is as being a part of this system of meeting the needs of our people, no matter what our role is, to reach out to them, not just in their bare physical broke-my-leg needs, but sometimes broke-my-leg needs have emotional support needs too, right? Sitting at home like a bump on a log, not that fun, is it?
No.
Yeah. So I think the more that we can reach out to each other in the total health of our people, that's our privilege. And sometimes you might say, well, that's not my job. But it's so easy to just throw in a little bit. And I do this all the time in my emails to our clients, you know, just give them a little blessing at the end. May God's strength be with you today for whatever needs you have. And just give them a little encouragement. To me, that is so much fun to reach out to them in that way. And at Mountain View, and some of you know that I've worked in Mountain View for about 30 years. And here's a little slogan that we had at Mountain View. It was simply, the better we take care of our staff, the better they'll take care of our residents. And this is literally true. This is literally true. And I maintain that it is true for churches. I think it's true for ministries. I think it's true all over the place that the better we take care of our people, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, or whatever it is, the more that we can reach out to our people, the better they're going to accomplish the calling of God in their lives. And so I guess for me personally, I take this calling as an HCM director beyond just dollars, beyond just medical. But it's reaching out to our people in their time of need, in trying to encourage them, in trying to bless them. Recently, we have a client that a very young daughter it seems like it's end stage renal disease, and it's like, wow, what do you do with this? And the bills are hundreds of thousands, but the bills are nothing in comparison to the mental stress of having a daughter that has these kind of needs. So it's so important that I think in all of these managing of these things that we go beyond just the mechanical, that we go beyond just, okay, we got this bill to pay, you know, we got these things to do, but that we go beyond that and we really go behind and minister to the needs of the person. Okay, so again, effective ministry hinges on the total health of our staff as they in turn seek the healing of the nations. And I just come across this scripture in Isaiah chapter 58 that I just, it's just like a watchword, I think, for God's people. It is, and I'd just like to close this slide presentation with this scripture. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When you see the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from the needs of your own flesh and blood. And if you do this, then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. I think that when we do our lives in the way that God has ordained it for us to live, it is amazing how that translates into our total well-being. I was interested in hearing one of the speakers out there say that he was doing the study on the... Who was doing this? Was this the storyteller guy? Hirschberger, I think. He said he was doing a study on the placebo effect. Were any of you all over there? And he was like, the placebo effect says that 30% of getting better is thinking that you're going to get better. Or 30% of the people that you're going to get better is 30% of the effect somehow that you think you're going to get better. And I think that the total health of people, it's very intriguing to me. And even medical bills could be less sometimes, a lot of times, if this would be doing better. Is that okay with y'all, me saying that? I think a lot of times, if we're thinking better, our physical body responds better. Mine does. We're all stressed out. We've been traveling a lot lately and 15 hours cooped up in airplanes and stuff like that. How many of you know that's not very good for your mental frame of mind? And it's just the kind of thing where, you know, you do so much better if your mind's feeling good and your body's will feel better too. So I think that the Lord's will for us people is that our health does spring forth speedily as we do His bidding. So that's all the presentation I have. I don't know if any of you here, you have any more questions? We have a couple minutes if you want to talk about anything. Norma, do you have any questions you brought with you from life?
I don't really. No.
Okay.
Maybe tomorrow a little
bit. Okay, that's fine. Well, we'll talk more at any time, and it's a joy to keep working with you guys. And
we appreciate all you're doing.
I was glad to see Elaine up and walking.
Yeah, she's doing very well.
Yeah, it's great. Some of these bills have been a little plaguing, but I think we've about got them under control now. So, anyway, yeah. And we don't have anybody on our plan from Canada, I don't think.
I don't think so, because, well, in Ontario, where I'm from, we have OHIP.
Yeah.
And yeah. I remember when I broke my leg, the only thing I had to pay for was for my crutches and my cast. That was all I had to pay for. But 5 years ago, I encountered a medical emergency in the States.
Ooh.
And thankfully, through my bank, I got insurance. I got travel insurance.
Yeah.
I didn't have to pay a thing of that.
So. Yeah.
But, yeah, I was like, how does this compare to, like, for us Mennonites back home? We have OHIP. We have...
Right.
But not all... Like, the older Mennonites, I know, don't...
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Right.
But how does that apply to us? Like, we don't have these huge thousands of dollars billed compared to you in the States. Because some of it is covered by OHIP.
So tell me, is it true? Down here the story is that up in Canada, they'll let you die before you get to see the doctor.
You'll be on a long wait list.
Okay.
Because you'll be on the wait list. Yeah.
So before they set your leg, how many days?
The very day it happened, I got set.
Yeah, of course. It was an emergency.
My family has been very fortunate. We have had serious medical needs in my family. But
right.
We've been able to get to specialists within weeks. Like, I know there's not cases out there that they've been waiting for months to see a specialist.
Right.
And I think part of the reason is we don't have enough people trained, and our doctors are, like, moving away from Canada because it's so hard to practice. And
right.
So we need more doctors.
Well, the obvious good part about the Canadian system is that you don't have to pay that much out of pocket.
No.
There's a few downsides, of course.
Yeah, but it's being paid through our taxes.
Right, right. So you're still paying for it, I guess.
Yeah, we are paying for it.
Yeah. But the downside, of course, is whether you can get the care as quickly as you'd like and all these kinds of things.
Like, if you do pay it out of pocket, you will get care quicker.
And I know exactly what you're saying, because we have a client right now who's talking to us from Canada. And he's trying to get into the hospital next door to me, UVA Hospital, University of Virginia Hospital, and the University of Virginia Hospital is telling me all day long, you know what, you're out of state, I mean, you're out of country, guess what, we reserve the worst for you guys. If you live in the state of Virginia, then fine, we can help you, but if you don't live in the state of Virginia, you pay up front before the service is offered. And no, you can't put it on payments, and no. So one of your fellow Canadians is experiencing that right now in my state. So,
another thing that is not, like, there's several things under COVID that are not covered, like dental, eye, and I think within the next few years, we'll have to be revised.
Yeah. Well, as you know, the United States is in a terrible turmoil about this too right now, so.
Yeah, it's interesting to actually hear about it because I don't realize how bad it is, actually.
Yeah, it's really amazing right now. So, yeah, and as far as the Bittinger Group, if y'all want to, Herman wants to talk more, or you guys want to talk more about what it would look like, you know, we're glad to talk more with you in whatever way you like. We can just walk with you in what you're doing already or whatever.
Yeah, we're definitely interested in joining a bigger group.
Yeah.
We've been able to take care of our bills.
Yeah.
And we have.
Yeah.
A fair sized fund. Built up, but we have people dropping out.
Yeah.
And getting insurance with their work or something else. But we would like more information and know about it.
Sure. Okay. All right. Well, I think that's all that I have for the formal part of your dismiss, as far as I'm concerned. So,
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.